Amen. Thank you. The sanguine is back. The sanguine is back. Ngoja nivae mewani. The sanguine is back so that we can... Good morning, Mavuno South. Preach for me. Look at your neighbor. Mommy, you look good. You're looking fine. You're looking fine. Huh? Great. As you heard, my name is Believer. But before I even start, I want to recognize the presence of some very special people in this service. We have our executive pastor, Sheila, together with her husband, Albu. Maybe you can just rise and wave to the people. And I can also spy and see Kove seated at the corner there. Thank you. Karibuni sana. This is Mavuno South. We enjoy ourselves. And can, Papa Des, please tell that wife of yours, some of us have never been to a gym in a long time. But we enjoyed it. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice? For the first time, I did round while jumping. By the time I was sitting down, oh yeah. God forbid. As usual, I've walked along with my atoti, my nyako bear, the woman of that my life. But am I mentioning? I've walked along with my wife. She's here with me. She's the one who ensures that I keep time. And because she's a definite male. She's a male. So akiona 1 minute passing, unaona anaanza kukunja uso. Then I know I'm in trouble. So you're in good hands. We won't be here until 1 o'clock. I can assure you that for her sake. Great. I don't know. This time round, Pastor Jade, you throw me under the bus. We are talking about a personality today that is in my house. So I'm going to be describing things. I have asked for permission to use some examples. So don't try this at home. You will get yourself in trouble. I have asked for permission and we have prayed over this. So Karibuni, when we were, even right now, if I asked you which is the most favorite ice cream that you like, or which flavor of ice cream do you know? Which flavor? There it goes, somebody has already shouted it. Vanilla. I mean, if you do not know any other flavor of chocolate, like me, when you go out there, you just say, nipatie vanilla, ama strawberry. Those two are the ones we know. The rest is too much work. I don't know, caramel, I don't know what. Those are too many. We know vanilla. It's a tasty ice cream, eh? It's very nice, very smooth. You can use it, you can use vanilla in baking, you can use it in cooking. These days I hear you even put it in soap. Vanilla. Anyway, when I grow up, I will bathe in a vanilla scented soap. They say that it has a calming effect, so they put it in baby lotions. Even they have scents that just make you feel calm and relaxed, and there's no akuna tabu. So that is the kind of personality we'll be looking at this morning. I'm sure you're already starting to guess which kind of personality this is. For our visitors, we've been talking about the box of chocolates. We've talked about the sanguines equated to the caramels. Very indisciplined people we are. We do not finish our tasks. We are loud and obnoxious. So we need to learn how to develop in our discipline. We don't finish tasks. I hope the sanguines in this house did the test and finished it. Because I'm sure you reached number two and you got tired. What is this? Well, it took me 3 weeks to do it, so I know. And then we talked about the cholerics, the people who have cholera. Those ones who just step on you and they go without thinking. Oh Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on us, because I also have a lot of choleric tendencies in me. I will tell you a word. Na kama haupendi ufanye nini? Meza wembe. And we continue. And life moves on. So in order for us as cholerics to develop peace. And then last week you talked about the males. My wife is a male, has some tendencies of males. Sinyi mko na zile vijiko zingine kwa hau kuanga na handle ya black na white. Ama ni kwa nyumba yangu peke yake hizo vitu ziko? Ni kwangu tu. Kuna tu vijiko tungine tunakuanga na handles za black na za white hivi. Now, my wife, if you give her a white fork and a black knife to use, you are in trouble. Hiyo chakula itakulwa. Hiyo ni, that's the biggest sin. That's a male for you. We will not move until we know what is happening up ahead. We will stop here and wait. When we know exactly the price of fuel has increased to 200 and therefore we can now calculate. But for us sanguines, ikonini, let's go. Kufa gari pamoja na dereva, isn't it? And that was the cholerics we talked about last week. And so this one that we are talking about this week just adds flavor, a lot of flavor without overwhelming and overshadowing. That is why my wife just sits in the background somewhere there. She just doesn't want to be seen. She's there. You go lakini here. You will feel her effect, but you will not see her. Unashindwa, hey, this guy. Kwanza today Ben was looking at me and just telling me I'm dressed like a flag. Kumbe, now you can see the effects. You see it, you feel it, yet you don't see it. So the personality that comes along with vanilla flavor is actually the personality of the phlegmatics. But please, I want us to be very careful, and Pastor Jade mentioned this last time. The purpose of knowing your personality is not for you to use it as an excuse. To go and hurt people and say, even the mini kwanga to me, I was made like that. To refuse to move and do things because even the mimi na kwanga to. Or to use that to hurt other people. It is for you to understand yourself and your dark sides and therefore ask God to help you overcome these dark sides and make you a better leader. So in a few moments, we are going to discover we'll go to the Old Testament. There's a very good example of a flag in the Old Testament. But let's look at the flags. Who are they? How do they look like? These are the guys who are easygoing. They're relaxed. Hakuna speedy. Mwenye haraka alitoka jana. Sisi hatuna speedy. I really sometimes wonder. On Sundays, do all the women become flags? Hakuna haraka ya kukuja kanisani. Ngoja kidogo. Imagine, ama nimedanganya purity. Huko ni kwangu. They're adaptable, they're gracious, very gracious. They're not demanding. And as such, where there's a fight or a quarrel, you'll rarely find a flag. The flag will just make his or her way out of that place. This makes them good to operate under great pressure. They make good parents because they accept their children the way they are. I mean, the sini vya litengenezwa ni sawa. And of course, they make better children. If you have a flag for a child, you enjoy. I have a daughter who is a choleric. And I am a choleric. So you can imagine when the head two heads meet, until I have to go and look for Pastor Jane and tell Pastor Jane, hey, mtoto. They are joy to have around because, you know, they don't rock the boat. They really don't rock the boat. And of course, they make for excellent bosses because they accept you the way you are. Hakuna raka, hakuna speedy, atafanya, atatengeneza, it is okay. They have excellent administrative abilities and they are competent and steady in their work style and can do jobs that require objectivity and they are able to work, listen to this, patiently with details. Sanguines, are you there? Patiently with details without getting bored. You know, even preparing for this sermon for a sanguine, nikibarua, there are details that you have to go into, but we thank God for the flags. They don't demand attention and are glad to do their work quietly without demanding attention. I'll tell you, my wife is a class leader for the BSF children's class in Buruburu. But you will rarely hear her talking about it. But when you go to the children's ministry, Mavuno Kids, the children will tell you what she does with them. She has extremely good administrative skills with those children. But her nature is that she doesn't shout about it. They are great mediators. They will want peace at all costs. Let's just have peace. Tuwe tu watu wa peaceful. Yes. They're just peaceful people. Non-judgmental. They listen to all sides. I mean, when there's a fight, you want to have a flag there. Because they'll be quiet. They'll listen to this side before they make a move. Cholerics, what do we do? I won't say anything about us cholerics because I know what we do. And therefore, flags tend to make very good friends. They go deep. They listen. They listen to your problems. They're sympathetic. They're empathetic. They go down. They understand what you are going through. And they want to be part and parcel of what you're going through. They tend to be patient and never in a hurry. Awanangaraka. So when you guys are in a hurry to pack chairs and go away, the flags are the ones who will tarry. So Pastor M would love them, the ones who tarry behind to, you know, get the anointing that remains behind. And they're very sympathetic and very, very kind. So you get hurt here, you fall down here, a child falls down here, whereas the choleric will be like, Allah, what's wrong with this child? The flag will quickly run. What's happening? What's going on? Woye maskini. Woye maskini. Let me not say what I was about to say. You will say, huyu mutu na yeye mambo yake hatujui. So God created these people, the flags, to put them in this box because clearly the world needs peaceful people. The world needs people who can bring about peace. But then, they have a dark side. They have a really dark side. Just the way vanilla has a dark side of high sugars. The flags have some very, very dark side. One, because of their calm demeanor, they don't get excited about things. Wako tu. Kama kimawe tu hapo hivi. Wako tu. They're just there. They're not just excited about anything. They lack enthusiasm. Sorry, Basi. And then they tend to procrastinate. Tutafanya tu. But their procrastination is different from the one of the male. The male wants to calculate and have things in order. But the flag, it's like it's too much energy to do this thing. Kesho pia ni siku. Tukifanya kazi yote leo, kesho tutafanya nini? Tutadu? Tutulize ni boli. So, in that sense, they come out across as very lazy people. Because they are not completing the tasks that are ahead. We shall do. Which tutafanya, kwani iko nini? Kesho, goja, just wait. They come across as lazy people to those who depend on them. And there are many instances that my wife has procrastinated on many things. And the choleric in me, umekata kufanya? Sumekata? Aya, sawa, tuende. Mi nimeenda. Utanipata mbele. So by the time she's getting there, already equals to conflict. Yeah? Because me, I've gone ahead. I mean, if you're not doing it, it needs to be done. Twendele. And there, immediately, there's a conflict that then happens there. Flags also tend to be indecisive. When there is a decision to be made, and it is here and now, the decision needs to be made, the flags will freeze. And I've seen this with my own eyes, as in freeze. I don't know whether I should go in front, whether I should go behind, whether I should go left or right. When the rubber has met the road and you need to make a decision, the flag will freeze. And that for some of us, gets us very upset. Inachokozanga vitu zingine uko ndani. When they freeze in front of you, and now you wonder, flags, are you in the house? Please don't freeze on us now, because I know this is your, this happens a lot with you. So what they end up doing is they sit back and wait for things to happen. So for us who are on this other side, we see like, okay, the flag wants you to do so that kikiumana atasema nilifanya nini? Si nilikuambia. Or am I lying, Pasis? Hizi mbio mbio yako ilikupeleka wapi? So it comes out like they do not want to move. And they are they become quite decisive. But the other thing with the flags is that they can be stubborn, very stubborn characters. Once they have made their mind, ni hivi, shaurienu. There was a time, an incident happened some long time back. I'm sure even my wife has forgotten about it. And we agreed. There was an incident that has happened, and we said, listen, she wanted to go. At that point in time, I told her, no, allow at least for some things to settle, and then I will come and I'll take you so that we go together. At 12 o'clock, I'm going to pick her so that we go. Hello, uko wapi? Aha, she has already gone. Now she went. The stubborn nature in her was, I want to do this now. And you're not going to stop me. I have made my decision. Me, I'm going. So they are good sometimes. I hope they don't. I don't know whether WSR is a flag. Because when he decides that 3% tax is 3% tax and he doesn't change his mind, I don't know whether he has some bit of flag in him. It's really difficult to convince them once they've made their minds up. It's difficult to convince a flag. You will have to cajole, beg, buy, borrow. What is that? What do they say? Beg, buy, steal, borrow, in order to convince a flag. But one of the most dangerous dark sides of the flag, the one that I think we'll talk a little bit more about, is fear. The flags are afraid. To get my wife to come and stand here. Mukiona amesimama hapa. She has come, it's like a fish out of water. She's in a place where it's a difficult place for her. They would rather be in the background doing things in the background. So they are very afraid, and they're afraid of the unknown. Kesho kutakuaje? How will we eat tomorrow? How will we dress tomorrow? They're always afraid of these things. And I can see our friend Eddie laughing there, because I think he faces my similar challenges. You know, for example, in a workplace, when an assignment is given, the sanguine will say, "Iko nini, twende." The choleric will be, "Bring it on." The flag, "Can I do this thing really? Do I know what it takes? Do I have the energy? Do I have the know-how? How will I start? Whom will I talk to? Who will lead me? I need to..." Yes, that's a new one. Not a new one. That's a... You must be a flag. I need to process this thing. Yeah? That's a flag for you. Because they are afraid. They are afraid of this situation. And in the process, this fear then robs them of a lot of opportunities. Because opportunities come disguised as hard work. And therefore, if you don't jump in because you are afraid, it then robs you of a lot of opportunities, and it ends up limiting you, and you look like a reluctant leader. So there are so many flags here because they have a lot, they are able to internalize and empathize and make great and have good administrative skills. But because they are reluctant to jump into leadership, the leadership just passes them on. The problem, again, is that they end up sitting back and saying, mimi ningekuwa hapo, mimi ningekuwa nafanya hivi. Nyinyi hamjui. So wale watu wa mushene hapa ni maflags. Kweli rongo. Akimi ningekuwa pale, singeongea hivyo. Ningesema hivi. Zile viti ningepanga hivi. But when you are told come and do, oh, unajua, ilikuwa, mashemeji, sijui nini. Flags, we love you. We really love you. True stories, eh? And this then tends to become very frustrating for the people you are working around with and the people that you live with. Because when an idea is suggested, they quietly sabotage it through nonconformance. Because they can see the pitfalls, but we don't want to take. We are afraid. Remember I told you, wacha wafanye, ikuwe mbaya, alafu tawambia, we told you so. Ndio hiyo. Or even just lack of enthusiasm and even sarcasm. Fear can be a very debilitating emotion that limits flags. And they need to deliberately come out of it. Now let's look into scripture about a flag. Best example of a flag in the scripture was one guy, a really tough guy who killed an Egyptian and took off to the desert. Really tough guy, eh? A real guy who survived. I think he must have been a Luo. He was put on a boat in the water, and he survived. He must have some Luo tendencies. Eh? For those of you who do not know whom I'm talking about, we are talking about Moses. One of these things about Moses is that he was a very patient chap. Very patient chap. You can imagine, even just leading the 200 odd people that are in here, ile kibarua iko. Everybody wants to pull in their own direction. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody has their own idea. Moses was given 1 million people. And the Bible says 1 million men. They did not count the women. Those days they were polygamous, eh? So they each had 2 wives. So that is already 3 million. Plus each of them had 5 children. So that's the number of people that Moses was given to lead out of the desert. Now that is not an easy task. That is not an easy task. You must be calm and steady, and you must know what you're going to do. You know, when things were good, they all celebrated Moses. When things were bad, they even wanted to lynch Moses at one time. And Moses led these people for 40 years through the desert. And it's surprising that in those 40 years, the Bible records only twice when Moses became upset. Number one, he came down and found guys doing their thing in front of a golden calf, and he threw the tablets. And you know, hey, yes, in fact, that's interesting. He was the first one who used a tablet, eh? Moses, eh? he went up and downloaded stuff on a tablet and came down. He went to the cloud, yes. Moses went to the cloud, downloaded stuff. That guy was. And then the second time was when he took his staff and struck the rock. When he was told to tap on the rock, he struck the rock, and it costed him. It costed him big. because with that he was not able to go into the promised land. You can imagine if you are a choleric, eh? And you are leading those 5 million people, how many of them would you have killed? Me, I would not have spared one. I would have kuja cross with you. What are you saying? Move on next? Moving on swiftly, next? Next? But God realized in order to lead this group of rebellious people, he needed somebody who is patient, somebody who is calm, somebody who is non-judgmental to lead them through this, this space. The flag who tames his downside makes a very, very incredible leader. Look at Moses. Became one of the most incredible leaders that has ever been defined. Moses was a very gifted mediator. In Exodus 18, in Exodus chapter 18, people would queue from morning to evening in order for him to mediate their disputes. You can imagine Moses ameka hapo kwa gate. Watu wanakama, wanamuliza. Uchali, this guy has winked at my wife. What do we do? Maze, his dog has pooed in front of my gate. In front of my tent. What do I do? Two, we are fighting over this child. Whom does it belong to? And Moses patiently adjudicated over these matters. Until his father-in-law had to come and tell him, "Where utachizi? You need to start organizing your people. Otherwise, you will." But that is a flag for you. But you can imagine only somebody with that kind of temperament was able to handle that crowd of over 5 million. And so, are we telling the flags here? We are telling them, if you take charge of your temperament, your dark side, you make one of the best leaders that can ever be in this place. He was a very peaceful man, eh? Moses, when he's in number 7, when he's in Numbers 12, when even his own sister, Miriam, and his brother came, and they were now engaging with him and telling him, "You did God tell you? When did you hear God saying these things? When you think you're the only one who God is talking to?" And the Spirit of the Lord came down, and Miriam was struck with leprosy. Immediately struck with leprosy. Instead of Moses, if Moses was a choleric, he would have said, "Good for you, kula yo." But what did Moses do? Moses went back to God and said, "Oh, ye God, please, have mercy. They do not know what they are doing. Have mercy on them." Don't take advantage of the flag, because they are very peaceful people. They are easily able to control and to control the situation and go back to God to have that. But Moses' story did not just start like that. Moses was not always a great leader. Moses had his own fair share of downsides. If we look at Exodus chapter 3, where God is appearing to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses is doing his thing, herding his flocks, encounters the bush. He has God's voice saying to him, "So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh." What is Pharaoh, or Pharaoh, or Pharaoh? Okay, Pharaoh. He's sending Pharaoh to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. So God has appeared to Moses. Now I want you to listen carefully to how Moses engages with God at this space. Number one, listen to the stubbornness of a flag. But two, listen to the fear of a flag. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Exodus 3, 11 to 12. But Moses said, I'm reading from the NIV version. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign that I will give you It is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you will worship God on the mountains. Moses is simply saying, I don't have what it takes. Sina nguvu. Sisi ni wanyonge, hatuna nguvu. Baba tusaidie. And God is telling him, I am the one sending you. You know, sometimes it's easy when you sit back and read this Bible. Eh? Moses must have been a very hard guy. If God appeared here now, Pastor Jade, and told you, Pastor Jade, I'm sending you, what will you do? Will you nego with him? Amekuja na mamioto zake, he's burning bush ya iungui. Would you negotiate with God? But Moses was a flake. And therefore, he said, Hapa mi siyo smek. God, hapa siyo smek. Ebu niambie what happens. But God continued to tell him, I will be with you. If we continue on, even on chapter 3, from verse 13 to 14, God said to Moses, verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Moses is afraid. I will go to the people who ataniuliza, wewe umechizi? Wewe umeenda shakahola, umekuja na mabangi zako hapa, unatuambia God has sent you. Who is his name? What is his name? Tell us what his name is. Typical of a flag. I'm afraid. How will I go? They will ask me questions. How will I answer? And God says, tell them, I am the one who has sent you. I am who I am. I am has sent me. You know, when we were children, I used to really struggle with that. The grammar there is not, there's no grammar there. The Mels, is there a grammar there? I am who I am. Okay. Moses is basically saying, I don't know you, God. I don't know you well enough. Why are you sending me? And God tells you, I am the one who is sending you. You are not doing it out of you. It is me doing it through you. If we quickly move to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, we are still just looking at how the discourse between Moses and God. Moses answered, chapter 4 and verse 1, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? What are they going to say? What are these people going to say? Moses is just afraid. Moses is panicked that he's going to be sent to people. But over and over, we see how God, he turns a staff into a snake and does many other powerful things to try and display to Moses that, you know what, it is me who has sent you. Again, moving on, this guy is a stubborn fellow. Yeah? Look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Verse 10 to 12, Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent. What are you hearing there? I'm afraid. I don't know. I don't know how to speak. Sijui tufanyaje. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Verse 11, the Lord answers and says, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Musa is just saying, listen, I can't stand in front of people. Many flags are afraid to stand in front of people. Many flags are afraid to, it looks like people can see through them. It looks like people can see through them, and so they're afraid. Just the way Moses was afraid. But God tells him, don't worry. What you're going to say, I will put it in your mouth. After all, I'm the one who created that mouth of yours. Hiyo mdomo unanijibu nayo, mimi ndio nilitengeneza. And the last one that I want us to look at is again from Exodus 4, 13 to 17. Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else. Tuma mtu mwingine. Me, assist me. Just send somebody else. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burnt against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. Moses is just saying, I can't speak. I can't speak in front of people. This one is too much for me. God tells him, I will provide a solution for this. I have given you what it takes, but I will provide a solution. If I was God, and I thank God I'm not God. Yani huyo Musa ningekuwa nimemtandika kiboko ingine, I would have sent Thor's lightning to strike him the first time he opens his mouth to argue with me. Ati, but God, mimi sija, lakini ka. You know, as cholerics, when the children become disobedient, and they come, daddy, pa, nilikuwa nasema pa, nilikuwa nasema pa, and then you step back, ati, what were you saying? So we thank God that he is God, and that he is patient. Moses is simply saying, I don't know. Moses' responses are about him. Me, I cannot. I'm not able to. I don't have what it takes. I can't stand in front of people. I can't speak. I don't have what it takes. But God is telling him, it is not you who's doing it. It is me, God, who is doing it. I'm just but using you as a vessel. I'm just but using you as a vessel. I've created you with certain qualities that I need to use to bring the children of Israel out of the desert. It is not you doing it. It is I who will do it, says the Lord. There's this point that I want us to remember. Even if we leave this place and we had nothing else, this one I would want us to remember. Who I am is not as important as who is with me. Just turn to your neighbor and repeat this for me, because I think this is a very crucial statement, that who I am is not as important as who is in me. And this is a word that God has for those of us, flags first, and the others who are in this room, who have allowed fear to take over, who have allowed fear to run their lives, who have allowed fear to be the driving factor. Remember, who I am is not as important as who is with me. So you need to change your focus. Change your focus from your fear. Change your focus from your inabilities to do things, and focus on who is the he who that is within you. Flags, in your fear you want to live a safe life, but in the end you will be plagued by regrets, because you forgot to engage with he who is within you. Fear will keep you passively watching the game of life as a spectator. You will watch life move on, while those around you step through doors of opportunities. You will blame society. You will blame bad luck, when in reality, your fear is what has held you back. Where the cholerics need gentleness, the melancholics need joy, and us, the sanguines, we need self-control, your greatest need, flags, is faith. Your greatest need is faith. Faith to attempt great things for God, so that you do not set yourself and your family up for a life of regrets. Because in your refusal to do things, I call it refusal, because you just don't want to have that, it's too much work, then you are allowing a lot of opportunities to pass you by. Remember, who I am is not as important as who is in me. So quickly, in coming to a quick close of the sermon, let's look at some of the ABCs that will help the flags moving on. Number one is that we need to acknowledge our strengths. Phlegmatics, God did not make a mistake to create you as a flag. You are wonderfully and fearfully created. Embrace who God has made you to be. You are steady, you are reliable, you are warm and friendly, you make great peacekeepers and diplomats, and you have incredible administrative abilities. Your children will rise to call you blessed. Some of the world's most incredible leaders were flags. Kofi Annan was a flag. Even our own Mwai Kibaki. If you look carefully, you'll see he had a lot of flag tendencies. And so does Bill Gates. They all have a lot of flag tendencies. What would the world be without you? So acknowledge your strengths. But bring your weaknesses to God. Beware that the enemy knows who you are and what you can become. And he will try to sabotage you. If you identify fear or reluctance in your life, it is important that you bring it before the Lord and submit it to him. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If cholerics must grow in gentleness, sanguines in discipline and self-control, melancholics in the joy of the Lord, the one thing the flag should grow in is faith and the exercise of it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." If you identify with stubbornness in your life, or indecision, procrastination, and those things, the enemy will magnify those things in front for you. So don't give him a foothold on those things, but submit them to the Lord. And ask him to help you to begin changing you and turning you into a faith-filled and spirit-led phlegmatic, just as he did for Moses. Commit to walking anew. Walking anew starts with acknowledging the mistakes you have made and determining to make a change. Maybe there are people you have hurt with your indecision. There are people you have hurt, you're frustrated with your hesitation. Start going to them and asking for forgiveness. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide you, not through the conversation, but with the faith that is needed to take the next steps that you know you need to take. If there are opportunities that have been put before you and you're saying no, please go for them. Have the faith and go for them. If you have a flag spouse like I do, I want us to challenge the other personalities. Let's pray for them. Starting with me, there are many times I have pushed my wife. I have pushed her to the wall. She says, I cannot sell. I don't know how to talk to people. I have been a salesman for over 20 years of my life. So for me, it's boga. You just go in front of somebody, tell them, story question. And I have pushed her to the wall until sometimes she just threw her hands up and said, you know what? I can't make this. So for those of us who have pushed our flag spouses, our flag, me included, it's time that we went back and apologized to them and allowed God and prayed for them. Work on me and pray for them. That God would work on us, that we will be sensitive to the flags, and that we would pray for them, that God would allow them to use the strength that they have for the kingdom and glory of the Lord. Just like Moses, those others of us, let us remember, it is not us who will change them. It is for us to pray that God will come and change them. So flags, you are in a good place. You are in a good place. Amaje Pastor Jid, you are in a good place because who I am is not as important as who's in me. And that cuts across, I think, from not only just from the flags, for all of us. Even as we come to the end of this series, it's a good thing to remember that who is in me is worth much more. And therefore, we need to reach out and pray for those who are in, those who are struggling with their flag spouses and flag. I need to pray. For one reason or the other, this morning, I feel the heaviness of those who are living with flags. And I feel the defeatistness. Is there a word like that? Defeatism. Linda, which word is that? You went to a group of schools. Maybe you can tell us. The defeatist that is within the flag. Now, sasa mnataka nifanye nini? I feel that the flags are struggling with that. And those of us who are on this other side are pushing the flags. And we might reach a place where we shall push the flags out of our community easily, because they will throw their hands up and say, we can't do this. So this morning I want to pray for the flags. And for all of us, that the Lord may have mercy on us. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning, Lord, that indeed you have come and spoken to us. You have revealed unto us who we are, how we operate, and why we operate the way we operate. And not for any other reason, Lord, but for the reason that we can use our strengths to glorify your name. And in our weaknesses, we can run back to you, Lord. So this morning, I pray for all the personality types represented in this room, Lord. Lord God, may you go before them. Lord God, may you be within them. May you make them understand that indeed, Lord, you have good plans for them. May you comfort them, especially the phlegmatics who have been hurt by the cholerics who have pushed them to the wall. Lord, I pray for the other personalities in the house, that they shall have the empathy and the sympathy that the flags bring in the box of chocolates. And that at the end of the day, when we all sit together, we shall strengthen each other's ability and each other's faith. That we shall watch out for each other. That we shall watch out for the brothers. We shall watch out for the sisters. Lord, open our eyes that we shall not use our personalities against others. We shall not use our personalities as excuses not to do, to have perfection in the things that we do.